Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
It is the Brett Witterble Show alongside the coach, Matt Doherty, News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. This is a segment that's going to require two Bretts and a coach. And we got Brett Jensen, Breaking Brett Jensen, here in studio with us today. Brett, it's good to have you here, my friend.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Brett has been, he is a man about town working a lot of different stories. But the big one that I'm looking at right now today is the showdown at the CMS Corral. You know what I'm saying? Is that what we got? Not the CMS Corral. Where did you see Governor Cooper at? I thought it was.
Yeah, he was at StarMed.
StarMed. That's
right around the corner.
The showdown at the StarMed Corral. And there he was. You were talking to him, and you had a chance to finally call him on what, Brett Jensen?
Yeah, you know, the last time I got to ask Governor Cooper a question was, I believe, the third week in March, right around the 24th, 25th. And so
of 2020.
Of 2020, I should say.
Yes.
So here we are 15 and a half months later, or 14 and a half months later, and I finally asked him in the middle of this press conference with Mayor Vi Lyles and Mecklenburg County Commissioner George Dunlap, the chairman, Mayor Pro Tem Julie Eisel, and a couple other county commissioners were there, and all his staff, and all the StarMed CEO was there, and everyone's talking about the $25 gift card.
That's right.
And then I sort of brought that to a complete and grinding halt with a question that I asked Governor Cooper.
Governor Cooper, Brett Jensen, WBT. I'm curious if you could explain, maybe in great detail, why, despite being the largest news station between D.C. and Atlanta, despite the Charlotte Observer and the Raleigh News Observer writing massive articles about it, thousands of mentions on Twitter, and yet we have yet to be called on in your news conference since last March, as a matter of fact. But yet some reporters have asked over 100 questions. So I'm just curious if you could explain in great detail why your staff was instructed to not call on us specifically and a couple of other media outlets.
First, I'm not aware of that. Second, I had an in-person news conference yesterday. You were welcome to come then, and you're welcome to come in the future.
What about the previous 14 months?
I'm not aware of
that. So even though your staff was asked about it, they did not tell you about this?
I'm not aware.
Asked your staff about it.
Like I said, you're invited to come, and you're here now. So ask away. So,
well, my question is, what happened in the last previous 14 months?
I don't know.
Oh, he knows full well what's going on. Brett Jensen, your reaction to his connivory there.
So there's two things. If he's telling the truth, then he has a severe problem with his staff essentially running a coup d'etat and not telling him what's going on.
True.
Not telling him what's written in the Raleigh News and Observer, not telling him what's written about in the Charlotte Observer, not telling him that many media outlets have called asking them why they're doing this. So they're just either keeping it from him specifically, or he's just simply not telling the truth. It's one or the other. I'm not trying to call Governor Cooper a liar. I'm just asking, I don't know what other options there would be. Either his staff is running amongst themselves and keeping everything private, or he's just simply not telling the truth, and he was caught off guard by that question. I don't know which it is. Unless you or coach can think of another theory.
His answer was immediate. It was him. He didn't think about who you were. He didn't wonder for a moment. He didn't look for his staff to be like,
"What's this? I'm surprised.
What's going on with this? Yeah. What's happening?" He answered immediately. He answered too quick.
He doesn't like you.
He does not like you, Brett Jensen.
But I had the answers ready. So you're telling me your staff didn't tell you when he said, I don't know. I don't know anything about it. So you're telling me your staff didn't tell you about
this? Of course. He knew. Like, he knew
full well.
So I
immediately tried to put it on his staff.
Right.
Like, if you don't know, well, your staff did.
Right.
Because they've been called many times about this.
Who are the two biggest radio stations in all of North Carolina? WBT and who's the big beast in Raleigh?
I don't know.
Whoever it is.
WRAL.
So you would know, right? So you would know if you've been talking to WBT.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know anything about this.
Yeah.
Really?
So that was the one, and and I don't know if it was directed towards me, but it was kind of weird that some of the staff members immediately after that question, one staff member said, "Oh, okay, maybe one more question." Like immediately trying.
Oh, of course, they're afraid. Before. You got them.
And then another staff member leaning over, and again, I don't know if it was directed towards me, but I thought the timing was odd that this person wasn't speaking to anybody until immediately after my questions, and then was asking. Like you could see them leaning over, going, like almost like looking at me while asking the questions, like, "Who's that?"
Who is his guy? Who is his guy?
Well, this person.
Who is this person?
Dori McMillan was here. I met her when she was running the PR side of Dan McCready's campaign.
Okay.
And then she went and worked for Governor Cooper, and she was asked many, many times, and she said, "Brett," she goes, "I'm not aware of this. I'm not the one in charge of this."
Okay, so
I don't know. But she has just left within the last 2 weeks to now run the media side for Sherry Beasley.
Okay. Who is the guy that works for him? That was at the Observer.
Ken Udy.
He doesn't know who WBT is. He doesn't know who Brett Jensen is.
I promise you, Governor Cooper knows
who I'm WBT telling you.
Is.
No. I'm saying Ken Udy.
Oh, Ken Udy, absolutely.
And you know who you are. And that's the guy I think that put the post-it note up on the thing that says "Do not take."
Yeah, he's like. I mean, I guess you could say chief of staff. I mean, that's.
Of course. Yeah. That was just
so weird. I don't know if the directives came from Cooper, Ken Udy.
Yeah.
But his staff.
I'm going to speculate.
Didn't know. About us being shut out.
He answered too fast.
Like, he's been.
You could have come yesterday.
He's
you
aware
could've.
Of every single thing written about him in a major story in the Raleigh News and Observer and the Charlotte. He just is.
So here's the test.
Unless the staff is hiding it from him for whatever reason.
So here's the test. Ladies and gentlemen listening here on WBT, here's the test. He'll have another press conference at some point in the next few weeks. Mm-hmm. It'll be a dial in or it'll be a whatever. And we'll see if we have a new clock established where they don't take your call.
Yeah, I'd like to call in the next one or two times and see if they take it, and then I will. If not, then maybe I'll just drive to Raleigh.
Just to be clear, so people understand, were there times in the last 14 months that you were the very first caller into the press conference?
Yes.
You were the first guy in queue.
Yes.
Because, sitting there for the entire
thing. Because you hear the audio recording telling you, you're the first in the entire, not just in queue, the first in the entire press conference.
Right.
Like, I was there before the staff was
so
there.
So when the staff walks in and they look at the conference call, they go, "Oh, Brett Jensen, WBT is right there."
Yep.
Let's go ahead and put that post-it note right over the name. Like, come on. Listen, Governor Cooper, you got caught. You got caught. You answered too quick. I'm reminded of the Brady Bunch episode when the guy faked whiplash and Mike Brady had to throw the briefcase on the ground to make him turn his head quick.
Oh, yeah, that was a good show. Yes.
And it caught him for lying.
That was a great episode.
Like, again, I'm not here calling Governor Cooper a liar, but
I'm not saying he lied.
Either your staff,
it was too quick.
Either your staff is.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Hiding everything from you?
Impossible.
And running
a man
your
with that
own...
Yeah.
We go Roger Clemens, he misremembered.
Misremembered.
Yeah.
He thought, let me tell you, he thought that he was throwing a ball.
Yeah.
Not the shaft of a bat.
That's right. The splintered bat.
That's it. It was. I thought it was a ball.
Yep.
I threw it at Piazza's head.
2001 World Series.
What a night.
I'm talking about the, shots in the buttocks.
Yeah, that's true, too.
The clean and the cream and the clean and the clear.
Yeah.
All right, Brett Jensen, we appreciate you being out there, man, and doing this. And I am going to continue to stand up and defend the honor of all Bretts around.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. No, but like I said, we've got the audio, and it took 14 and a half months, but I finally got to ask a question. Why he's not taking our question?
All right, Governor Cooper, you're on the clock now. We're watching. Tick-tock, you're on the clock. 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110-993-WBT. Boomer Von Cannon. Yeah, we're
like
putting extra time back up on that clock.
Man, I'd like to be at the next conference that Brad attends with the governor. I'm going to take my boombox and put in the theme from Darth Vader. Dun, 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 dun.
That's the one, man. That's it. News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Brett Witterbull alongside the coach, Matt Doherty, and the book, You Must Pick It Up. It is a vital read. Dead serious here when I say it. It is Rebound from Pain to Passion, and it's good to have you in studio, my friend.
Good to be here, and I've got to give my wife a shout out. Today is her birthday.
Happy birthday.
She probably won't like me telling, the audience that it's her.
Do you intend to go home? Women don't want men yelling out
their age. Okay,
I'm just going to save you on that one.
She's She looks great, considering, you know, I mean, if she was 40.
She's 21.
21 again.
Happy 21st.
Yeah.
That's it?
That's it.
You just see, I saved you.
I appreciate you.
That's what I do, man. That's what we do. But happy birthday. What's your wife's first name?
Happy birthday.
What is your wife's first name?
Kelly.
Kelly, happy birthday. From all of us here at WBT.
Yes. Right?
That's right.
That's right.
He got a that's right out of Josh. You know, did you get her a copy of the Anthony Fauci emails for her birthday?
That is for a special, more special birthday.
A more special birthday. Yeah, that's right. That's a good point. Tony Fauci's got some emails that have come out.
And, no. Yeah, he's not Anthony.
Anthony. Anthony's been talking back and forth. He was talking with the Chinese, and he's been getting a lot of grief. The people are calling for him to be fired. They're calling for him to come clean with what he knows. So, of course, he went on MSNBC this morning to talk to Morning Joe. And here's just a couple of little Anthony Fauci pieces. He says there's a great deal of interest versus the evidence that we know of what happened with the Wuhan virology lab. Cut 22, go.
And we need to find out if it's true or not, of the fact that there were some people who worked at the lab who got ill. We need to find out, A, is that true? And B, what was the nature of their illness? And those are things we just need to find out. So if that's something that turns out to be an important feature, then you could say, that may lean a little bit more towards one. But what I think people might be getting confused is the conflation of, is it more interest in it, or is there really more evidence?
Well, I'd say the emails kind of point to the fact that there may be some pretty strong evidence as a part of this investigation. He spoke about the species jump. Cut 23, go.
You know, some people don't want to admit it, but the scientists in China, many of them are really very good scientists. I think epidemiology, one of the things that they did wrong is that they cleaned out the market as soon as there was this outbreak for fear that it would spread even more. That could have been an epidemiological mistake because they may have wiped out evidence of the jumping of species. But you still have to keep looking.
Gotta keep looking.
Wait a second. Tony Fauci is from New York.
Yes, he is.
He wasn't born. He was born at night, but not last night.
Not last night.
He's getting them off the hook by saying they may have made a mistake by trying to do the right thing, is what he's implying, and clean up the market too soon.
They were too successful.
They were too good. They were too diligent in cleaning out the market. Right. How about they're cleaning up a crime scene?
Exactly. And we're going to dive into that straight ahead. I'm still looking for the real killer.
Right?
704.
I feel like I'm watching like Law and Order.
Law and Order.
Yeah, very good. Yeah.
All right. News Talk 1110 993 WBT. Anna Erickson's got the update. News Talk 1110 993 WBT. Brett Winterbull alongside the coach, Matt Doherty. So we were talking about Anthony Fauci. We were talking about the fact that he goes on Morning Joe this morning to explain, you know, some angles on the issue of the coronavirus, the origins, all that sort of stuff. So far we've played a clip that says he wants to find out whether or not there is really any evidence about this thing coming from the lab versus an animal-borne illness. And then we just heard him say that the Chinese were so thorough in the cleanup of the wet market that it may have actually hurt the effort to find the link between the coronavirus.
He's praising them for cheating.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Basically, yes. Yes, that's absolutely.
And he's acting like there's no suspicion.
Correct. That's exactly right. That's what he's doing.
It's so unbelievable.
Now, but before you jump to conclusions, we don't want you making the Chinese government mad.
No, because if you do, right, what happens?
Well, if you do, you're going to have a problem.
According to Anthony.
Anthony, cut 24, we got to be very careful in working with the Chinese government and these Chinese scientists because they might not play ball. Go.
I think the accusatory part about it is only going to get them to pull back even more. We've got to do it in a combination of diplomacy, scientific, forensic investigation, and do it in a way that the people of good faith, not who want to do blame, but people in good faith are really trying to find out what the origin is. And we're seeing a lot of, you know, I don't even want to describe it, a lot of pointing of fingers and things like that.
What do you expect?
$11 trillion in economic damage.
What do you expect?
500,000 dead Americans.
Unbelievable.
6 million dead people worldwide.
You know, he's the one hiding behind the curtain.
For sure.
He doesn't want to push too hard.
Don't push hard.
Nothing to see here.
Don't push hard. They're very sensitive.
They're very sensitive.
Listen, don't make them mad.
Don't make them mad. They'll take their ball and go home.
Well, I'm sorry, but we need to know what the truth is here. You cost us at least $11 trillion in economic damage just to the United States. I think it's really up to us to approach the Chinese government and say, you have got to tell us what's going on here. I mean, this is a problem. Now, Fauci, I think...
You're going to his accent.
Fauci...
You're going into his accent.
I'm not.
Do it.
Well, look, if the reality is we could easily anger them, and then suddenly they're going to point fingers at us, because guess what? Turns out I might have sent them a few bucks to do the research. And the next thing you know, we're all going to end up in trouble because we're all going to get sued. Us and them. And you know, they're not going to pay. I hate to think of what could happen then.
That's good. That was good.
Coach, what happened to the Knicks last night? I don't know what happened to the Knicks. Derrick Rose, he was a heroic.
They cleaned up too nice.
Is that what it was?
They played too nice.
Yeah.
They shared the ball.
But can you, I mean, do you think if you're a cop, like I wish Rob Tufano was here today, because I would ask, I'd say, do you worry about the feelings of the suspect when you're asking him if he killed his mother-in-law?
Right.
Like, are we offending? I don't want to offend you. I mean, can you just tell us what you did?
You know, if you don't mind, can we get your fingerprints off that gun? Do you mind? I mean, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I don't. Not that I'm accusing you of anything.
You cleaned up that scene so well.
Yeah, you did a good job. Look at that rag over there with the blood on it.
See, this is why people get frustrated, I think, with the government, because they feel like Fauci is more interested in not offending the communist Chinese than he is in getting the truth for the everyday American that lost their businesses or their kids' graduations, or all that kind of stuff that ran amok. And I don't, for the life of me, it doesn't make any sense to me. And then we have the President of the United States. And then we have the President of the United States who keeps tying the notions of getting the vaccine to freedom for the 4th of July, that if you just get the shot, you could have the 4th of July. And I have a clip where he's kind of talking about this. I want you to hear this. This is... Joe Biden, we'll go 17 first. Cut 17. This is President Biden on why we deserve a summer.
America's headed into a summer dramatically different from last year's summer. A summer of freedom, a summer of joy, a summer of get-togethers and celebrations. An all-American summer that this country deserves after a long, long, dark winter that we've all endured.
Okay, now I don't want to upset you, Coach. You're going to get upset, but I don't want to upset you. This clip is...
Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead, please.
Was he reading that off a prompter, or did he freestyle it?
He didn't freestyle that.
He doesn't freestyle anything.
Nothing.
You think when he has dinner with his wife, he reads off a prompter?
He's got a prompter.
Yeah.
She does all the ordering. She sets it all up.
Yeah.
Because look what you did. He did such a...
And then he has to look at a prompter and say, thank you, dear.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Joe. Jill. So this is going to...
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Make some people's heads explode. This is something that you didn't really hear on TV yesterday, but this is from President Biden talking about why it is you got to get the vaccine, because he warns us what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Cut 18.
What happens after the summer? The data could not be clearer. For all the progress we're making as a country, if you are unvaccinated, you are still at risk of getting seriously ill or dying, or spreading disease to others. That's why today we're announcing a month-long effort to pull all the stops to free ourselves from this virus and get to 70% of adult Americans vaccinated.
So what he's doing is he's laying down a marker for what if we have to shut things down again mm-hmm. in the fall. I don't think you're going to have any success in doing that. I think what you just had is what you're just, that's the extent of what you're going to get. I don't think people are going to be compliant putting masks back on. I don't think people are going to be compliant listening to governors telling them that stuff is shut down. I think they will see, you want to see what an insurrection looks like? You'll see an insurrection then. Not necessarily violent, but I think you'll just see people ignore the rules.
Right.
Because we've done this, and you told us to get the shots, and a lot of us got the shots. Many people did not get the shots. That's their call. But the fact of the matter is, don't lay down this marker of, well, you better get the shot or, you know, you could die next year.
Right. No.
I thought it worked, President Biden. I thought the shots work. I'm not seeing super spreader events breaking out. Are you seeing any super? I'm not seeing any super spreader events. I mean, that's the thing. Come on.
Joe knows.
Remember when President Trump said something about the media? News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT, Brett Witterbull alongside the coach, Matt Doherty. And it's important to note, we're going to get into a very complex look at a couple of different topics at the beginning of this next hour, specifically as it relates to the CRT stuff that's going on. But coming to terms with some of our history, and taking a look at it, a critical look at it, because there's a lot of stuff that has happened that we have to understand the context of. Obviously, you saw the President of the United States talking in Tulsa just a couple of days ago. There are a lot of issues that we need to look at as well, and I think it's important to have that conversation. But I want to throw this out here in this segment, because I think this is an important clip. This goes back to 2017. This was February 24th, 2017. And it was involving a comment by the President of the United States about the role of what he called the fake news media. Why am I playing this clip? I'm going to play it for you, and then I'm going to tell you why I just played it. Cut 15, go.
A few days ago, I called the fake news the enemy of the people, and they are. They are the enemy of the people. Because they have no sources. They just make them up when there are none. I saw one story recently where they said 9 people have confirmed. There are no 9 people. I don't believe there was 1 or 2 people. 9 people. And I said, give me a break, because I know the people. I know who they talk to. There were no 9 people, but they say 9 people. And somebody reads it and they think, oh, 9 people, they have 9 sources. They make up sources. They're very dishonest people. In fact, in covering my comments, the dishonest media did not explain that I called the fake news the enemy of the people, the fake news. They dropped off the word fake. And all of a sudden, the story became the media is the enemy. They take the word fake out. And now I'm saying, oh, no, this is no good. But that's the way they are.
After you've heard what's come out regarding Fauci and regarding all the storylines that were run by all the cable channels saying, this isn't the Wuhan viral lab. This isn't the Chinese didn't do this. This is racist. This is xenophobic. This is wrong. Fauci's the hero. Trump is crazy. Trump is nuts. Hydroxychloroquine will kill you. Trump told you to inject bleach in your arm to battle the virus. We're not going to be able to fix this in the next 4 or 5 years. You name it. Operation Warp Speed, that's dumb. That'll never work. We'll never roll this out. Joe Biden coming out after he's inaugurated and saying the cupboard was bare. There was no vaccinations available, even though the first 1 million had already gone out when he came into office. What about the role of CNN and MSNBC, NBC, ABC, and CBS? What about the role at times of Fox News and of the Fox Business Channel. What about CNBC? What about these channels? What about these channels? At what point, given what we now know from Anthony Fauci's emails, at what point do we hold the media to account? I asked the question at the beginning of this week on Tuesday. I said, when is the march? When is the march? When do we march outside the headquarters of these media conglomerates that told you that the mask will save you? You must wear the masks, wear the masks, wear the masks. Not wearing the mask is not patriotic. Not wearing the mask means you don't care about your fellow people. We're all going to die if you don't wear the mask. And then all of a sudden, the CDC comes out and goes, masks are done. Masks are done. The president of the United States, Joe Biden, says, if you want to have 4th of July, you got to get the shot. You got to wear the mask. You got to separate. At what point does the media be, at what point are they held to account? They never once went to China and tried to find the source of this. And anybody who raised the issue was told that they were racist. You're not racist for asking for the truth. I know there are people who are bristling by hearing that clip from Donald Trump. But the fact of the matter is, I do believe people like, and I'll name them, Don Lemon, Chris Cuomo,
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Usual sort of suspects, Anderson Cooper, the entire primetime lineup on MSNBC, they lied to you. And they lie to you on a regular basis. It's a frustrating situation, and that's why I wanted to play that clip. 704-570-1110. At what point is the media held to account? And I get it. Turn it off. Don't watch it. That's absolutely your choice. But they need to understand that if they're going to go on TV and tell lies, like actual lies, we have indications that Donald Trump's going to be is going to be indicted for Russian collusion. Never happened. Robert Mueller's going to indict him on Russian collusion charge. Never happened. They lied to you repeatedly. And they're never held to account. Nobody even says, you know what? You guys got it wrong. You got it wrong. It is the only industry that exists in which the customer, you are always wrong. You are always wrong. And who advocates for you? They hate talk radio because we advocate. We advocate. You have the ability to call into a show and have your opinion. And yet the elites, Breonna Keeler, Brooke Baldwin, John Berman in the morning on CNN, they all sit there and look their noses down at you because you don't live in Washington or Los Angeles or New York City. You're not anywhere near as smart as they are. Just ask them, they'll tell you. And they're going to look at these Anthony Fauci emails and they're going to say, well, that's not really any kind of proof. Johnny Carl, the guy from ABC News, goes on there with Stephanopoulos, the most partisan man on all of broadcast television. He was quite literally the designated spokeshole of the Clinton administration before he went into television. And what does he say? Johnny Carl, their White House correspondent, Jonathan Carl, says, well, it turns out the virology lab, that looks like that could be the source. And, just because Donald Trump says it doesn't mean that it's totally wrong because he says it. That's not true. Acosta, Caitlin Collins, the entire crew from CBS, Weijia Zhang, remember, she was trying to tell the president, if you mention the Wuhan Virology Lab, that's racism. That's not racism. It's geographically specific. That's not racist. That's pointing to a location where it's believed this thing got out. Tom Cotton, absolutely excoriated for taking a position on saying, well, we got to find out where this thing came from and what happened at the virology lab. I played you the clip from Anthony Fauci. He says that they did such a good job cleaning up the wet market, we might not be able to find out that this thing came out of the wet market. And oh, by the way, don't drive China away. Don't make them mad. Who gives a rip about making China mad? Who gives a rip about the PRC and the Chinese Communist Party getting angry? You saw what they just did to the world? What would they do if they were angry? No accountability, no questions. Have you seen a single network reporter, 60 Minutes, have you seen anybody go and get a sit-down interview with Xi Jinping after what happened for the last 14 months? Not a single one of them. You know why? Number one, they're cowards. Number two, they're controlled. And number three, they're fearful of doing it because they can't make him a villain because it'll mean Trump was right. Another great hour straight ahead. I'm Brett Witterbull alongside the coach, Matt Doherty. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Witterbull Show. News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Brett Witterbull alongside the coach, Matt Doherty. That was a great first hour we had there, coach. I'm getting feedback. People approved of it. It's been shipped off to the appropriate filing capacity, and it was a really good hour.
You know, I'm glad people approve of it, but I think the key that we want to do at WBT is mine for the truth. And I talk about that in leadership. I work with executive coaches. I work in the executive coaching space. I wrote that in my book. I think the most important thing you want to find is the truth. And that's all we want to find. You know, I don't care if it's the left or the right that's doing the right thing or the wrong thing. I just want to know.
That's right.
I want to know the truth. And so that's what we try to deliver here.
That's sure, absolutely. Absolutely reliable information that is the truth. I mean, there's plenty of places
you know,
can get
my
spin.
Point is, like, if the stories were, oh, Fauci was legitimate and the right's in the wrong.
Yes.
You know, the audience may not like that.
That's right.
But I hope they appreciate the truth.
You got to own it.
Right.
You got to own it either way. If it cuts your way, if it cuts the other way, you got to call balls and strikes.
That's called a zigzag. If you cut one way, cut the other way. That's
right.
Called a zigzag.
That's a zigzag. But we do balls and strikes, right? We call balls and strikes. And that's what we have to be, is honest.
100%.
You know, there are plenty of people, just to harken back to the last hour very quickly, there are plenty of people like Brett that would not do what Brett Jensen did in confronting a governor and saying, hey, it's been 14 months since
right.
you called. You didn't take a question for us in 400 days.
Right.
They'd be afraid to do that. They'd be like, I don't want to get rocked the boat, whatever.
The boat's rocked.
He stood up for
He's
it.
Not answering.
Right.
So you got to do something.
That's right.
To shake the cage.
And look, it's important to understand something here, okay? Injustice is injustice. I mean, no matter how it cuts, it's an unjust result or act is an injustice against everybody.
Well, that's a Martin Luther King quote.
Right. And
I will Google
it's, yeah,
here quickly.
Injustice anywhere is injustice everywhere.
I think something like
that. To paraphrase.
Yes.
So, Coach and I were talking about a couple different aspects, and I think these are important points. President Biden goes to Wilmington, goes to Tulsa, Oklahoma, at the site of the massacre there in Tulsa 100 years ago, just a couple of days ago. And he spoke about what it was that took place there, how families were attacked, how businesses were destroyed, Black Wall Street was destroyed at Greenwood. All of that happened. But he did omit an important component, and the important component was who specifically were the perpetrators of that act. He said, well, it's just we white people are responsible for what happened in Tulsa. But it's never that simple. You
No.
have to dive into...
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
See what was driving it, who was driving it, who was behind it. Many cases, you find out it's people allied with the Ku Klux Klan. You find out it's people allied with whatever political orientation that they've decided to take advantage of. So we talked about Tulsa, and in just a few moments, we're going to talk about the current era, the current age with what's going on with the NFL,
right.
and that. But I wanted to just bring up to speed folks about another incident that you don't hear so much about. Wilmington, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Wilmington, North Carolina. A terrible injustice was carried out in Wilmington, North Carolina in 1898. And it was a massacre. A group of vigilantes, angry and fearful at the newly elected biracial local government, joined forces with area militias to rain terror on Wilmington, North Carolina, then the South's most progressive black majority city. After stoking fear of a black uprising that would upend their way of life, endanger their women, and bring about an unfathomable new American reality in which black men, not whites, governed, white city leaders pledged to choke the current of the Cape Fear with carcasses rather than allow Wilmington's black citizens to succeed and lead. Now, you're not going to hear this talked about by Joe Biden. And I'm going to tell you why you're not going to hear this talked about by Joe Biden. Because it just so happens that the government in Wilmington at the time of the riot, at the time of the assault, was a mixed government. Blacks and whites were together serving, and it was a Republican government. Republicans wielded the political power in that community. The Republican Party was biracial in membership. Unlike in many other jurisdictions, black people in Wilmington were elected to local office. They gained prominent positions in the community. Three of the city's aldermen were black. Of the five members on the constituent board of audit and finance, one was black. Black people were also serving in civic positions of justice of the peace, deputy of the court, street superintendent, as coroners, policemen, mail clerks, and mail carriers. African Americans held significant power in the city, and many former slaves had skills which they were able to use in the marketplace. Bakers, grocers, dyers, making up nearly 35% of Wilmington's service positions. That was brought about by the Republican Party. You're never going to hear that. The Republican Party was a party of abolition and was a party of enfranchisement and a party of... And it resulted in a great deal of frustration among the Democrats in that city. And I'm not trying to turn this into a Republican-Democrat fight, but the fact of the matter is, if you listen to a speech by Joe Biden or you watch the people who are on MSNBC, they'll have you believe that it was the Reconstruction violence that took place in the South was conducted by Republicans. It was the Klan, and it was the Democratic Party refusing to give up its power. And so, a group of people get together, and decide they are going to raise holy hell in the city of Wilmington, North Carolina. They call them the Secret Nine. Who are the perpetrators? Charles Ayok, Furnifold Simmons, Josephus Daniels, who, by the way, was the owner of the News and Observer newspaper, which is still functioning today, and Alfred Waddell. 2,000 people involved in this, and it was essentially the exact same narrative that you saw come out of Tulsa, but they don't talk about it as much. And it would end up being Josephus. It would end up being Josephus Daniels, who would end up becoming the Secretary of the Navy under Woodrow Wilson, a prominent racist white Democrat who served as the president. And who was it that served as a lieutenant under Joseph Daniels in the Department of the Navy? A young Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the great savior of the country, right? It is a shocking story. They call it the Wilmington Coup. It's regarded as a turning point in post-Reconstruction North Carolina politics. And what you had was an actual insurrection and an actual coup, unlike what happened on January 6th, which looked like a birthday party compared to this. When we come back, we're going to talk about an injustice that's going on now with NFL players. Night Ranger by request.
Night Ranger.
News Talk 1110 993 WBD. Takes you back in time, doesn't it, Coach?
Yeah, yeah. I'm just impressed with your all-around ability to recall songs and athletes and politicians and just random. Like, you'd be, like, great in, like, you know, like Pictionary and,
oh my God,
you know, like these game shows. Like, you know, Jeopardy.
Yeah, maybe.
You'd be great in Jeopardy.
I don't know about that. I'm not well-rounded enough for that.
A couple more donuts and you'd be well.
There you go, right there. So, Coach, look, we just looked at this situation out of Wilmington, but this is part of a longer narrative and a longer issue that we're looking at here.
Yeah, it's really, and it seems to be, to me, hitting me in the face in the last couple of days, the history of black suppression by government, media, is very disturbing. As you mentioned, the 1898, Wilmington, North Carolina insurrection. One of the most progressive cities in the South, and the mass riot carried out by white supremacists. You touched on earlier Joe Biden being in Tulsa. 100 years ago was the Tulsa Massacre. The Greenwood District of Tulsa was called the Black Wall Street. It was an affluent African-American community. But a young black man was accused of assaulting a white woman on an elevator. The story just grew and grew and grew, and it led to a black and white conflict in the streets. Greenwood District was looted and burned down by white rioters. This story is just coming to light in the public, and a lot of it,
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
I saw the story because of an NBA player, George Hill, who was with the Pacers when I was there. He played for the Oklahoma City Thunder, and he wanted to go see it before he got traded, I think, to Philadelphia. Several towns claim the origin of Memorial Day, but the truth may lie in Charleston, South Carolina. On May 1st, 1865, freed slaves and white missionaries decorated the graves of over 250 Union soldiers in Charleston. Why haven't we heard of that story before?
Mm-hmm.
And then, as disturbing and maybe more disturbing to me because it's happened in the last 30 years, and this is something that I'm surprised not a bigger headline, the NFL decided to eliminate race norming. Now just think of this. What is that, you may ask?
Yeah.
Well, it's the terrible act of profiling black players, stating that they started out with a lower cognitive functioning ability than white players. So that practice made it harder for black players, who were the majority of NFL players, to show a deficit after brain trauma and qualify for monetary claims.
Mm-hmm.
This has been going on for about 30 years. That's criminal. Just criminal.
And 30 years is not as long ago as we think. It's like the 70s.
Right.
No, it's
the 90s.
It's the 90s.
Yeah. Yeah, you and I were just talking like it. The 90s seems like it was a decade ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was 3 decades ago.
Right.
And this is troubling, as things pop up over the last year with George Floyd and Black Lives Matter and, taking a knee. I think we as Americans, we as white people, need to try to show, no, not try to show, we need to show empathy towards people of color who have had decades, centuries of suppression. It's just not right. It's not Christian. And it makes me sick to my stomach.
I think what stands in the way of more progress in that regard is the fact that you've had a complete narrative shift, so that people who are Republicans are told that they are the ones who committed these atrocities.
Right.
And when in reality was the Democratic
Party.
Now, nobody is saying the Democrats today are committing these atrocities, but it's equally unfair to say Republicans are responsible for that when Republicans are the party of abolition and the Democratic Party is the party of slavery.
That's right.
It was defended in 8 straight elections in their platform. You can still read the platforms.
That's right.
I mean, that's just a fact.
That's right. And does that make them bad people today? No.
No, you're not responsible for the slavery that occurred under Andrew Jackson in the same way that Republicans are not responsible for the slavery that occurred under Andrew Jackson. Okay, but at the same time, that's what gets in the way of any kind of, I think, of any sort of real progress.
Yeah, and you know what really is the common theme between, one of the common themes, because people smarter than me can come up with probably 10 of them,
mm-hmm.
right off the top of their head is the role of the media.
Sure.
And how they buried some stories or spun stories.
Or in the case of Josephus there, Josephus Daniels, owning the News and Observer, hyped the riot.
Right.
Like, got people agitated and fomented that overthrow of the elected government in Wilmington, North Carolina.
So what's the answer with the media? And I'll go first. We need to have some wealthy conservatives buy or start some major media outlets just to level the playing field. Mm-hmm. Because that is where the war is won.
I think equally in that regard, people have got to really think about walking away from what it is that's being offered up on cable TV.
You can't, though. Yeah. It's just an addiction. It's like, you know.
No, but I think you can. I mean, you just got to choose. You just got to choose.
Well, you choose. Yeah, you choose. But, you know, I mean, and does everyone listen? You and I watch Fox, right? Is that you hope that it's totally honest, you know? Sure. But you try to.
Mm-hmm. You got to do your own research.
But that's hard.
You got to look. It's
hard, especially for the people that, you know, work hard every day. You know, sure. You more than me, this is your space. So you have time to research it, and that's your profession, that's your passion. But if I'm, you know, someone else who's working the 9 to 5 and you get home, you have dinner, you're exhausted.
Right.
You may watch the local news.
And then shut it down. Yeah.
All right. You trust what you're.
News Talk 1110-993 WBT. I am Brett Witterbull alongside the coach, Matt Doherty. And, coach, you know, you look at this situation and you say, okay, all right, here's the problem, though. Nobody wants to acknowledge, if you're in the media, because that's what we were talking about as a result of the division and things like that. You're in the media, you're not going to acknowledge that you're wrong any more than people are going to acknowledge that maybe their ancestors were wrong or anything else, because everybody wants to be right, and it takes a certain amount of empathy to kind of step back.
Wait a second, though. We're talking about the media. They're not creating the news. They're reporting the news.
Well, theoretically.
And it's their job, right.
Right.
And it's their job to mine for the truth.
Right.
Everybody's become an editorialist.
Absolutely.
Not reporting the news.
That's right. Look, you put on any of these cable channels right now, and what you're going to have sitting there are people talking about what they think is going to happen with the taxes, with mm-hmm. the voting bill, with this or that. I'm old enough to remember, you're old enough to remember, when reporters might have done that on the Sunday shows where they sat around and they chewed the fat
yep.
with the anchor, Tim Russert or somebody like that. This is a new iteration. This is advocacy all day long with a couple of news stories worked in.
Yeah. Well, it's all about ratings.
Sure it is.
It's all about the dollar. And by the way, chewing the fat. Who came up with that term? Like, who likes to chew fat?
There are people who are very much into chewing the fat. They chew the gluten. They chew the fat. It depends on what you're into.
I heard you were into the gluten. I heard you talking yesterday.
We went full gluten.
You did go
full gluten free.
Full Monty gluten.
I wanted to know where the gluten goes when you have gluten free, and it turns out they just don't put the gluten in at all.
Glutenless?
It's gluten free.
They're coming a can?
That veal cutlet you're eating.
I don't eat veal.
Is not.
I stopped eating veal over 30 years ago.
I know you did. You're one of those animal rights types.
No, I just. But I. This is truth. I used to love veal parm.
Veal parm.
Yeah, with the gravy and I'm working on Wall Street.
Yeah.
In the late 80s, mid to late 80s.
Yeah.
And I read some article about the clubbing of veal.
Yes.
I stopped right then. I couldn't eat it.
That's a good.
I went to chicken. So I went to the chicken. Gets his head cut off. So what's better? You get clubbed? Or you get your neck in the guillotine? I don't know. But I go chicken parm with gravy.
Okay, no gluten as long as you don't bread the chicken.
Well, I got to have bread.
So you got to bread it.
Otherwise, it's not really.
You got to bread it. You got to put something on there. We'll discuss this.
Do you like the French, the Italian bread with the? You know, you like the hard Italian bread? Or you like the soft Italian bread?
I like the hard Italian.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Like, so the
like the kind that just like you bite into it
and it flies all over the place on your lap.
You bite into it, it's all over your lap, and your molar is embedded in the.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
The bread.
Yeah.
You know, one of those things.
You ever eat at Carmine's?
Yes.
Yeah. Good.
In New York?
One of the top chain restaurants out there. Mm-hmm. Maggiano's, one of the top chain restaurants out there. I'm not even getting plugged for that.
Look at this.
I need to call my agent.
704-570-1110. People have been patiently holding on. What do you say we jump out and talk to some of the folks who are joining us? Let's go to Jackie. Jackie, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hey, Brett. How you doing, man?
Doing well, thanks.
Hey, good discussion today. Hey, I just want to make a point. You know, we talk a lot about systematic racism, and I think you sort of made the point that racism is systematic when you said it's not Republican and it's not Democrat. It's a systematic that's been going on. It's systematic, right? What do you say?
No, I don't think it's this. I don't think there's a system of racism in place, but I think there are things that have to be overcome that have, you know, that have been present, will occasionally pop up and things like that. But human beings don't act according to a system.
Right. It's cultural.
Yeah. I mean, that's the answer I got for you, buddy.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I thought that was a good answer.
I mean, to shatter your dreams.
Shattered.
Brian. Hello, Brian. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind, sir?
Good afternoon, guys. Thank y'all for the show. We appreciate listening to it.
Thank you, buddy.
I wanted to get on the coach a bit about the empathy line for this. So it never gets brought up. I've never heard any mainstream news talk about it, or Fox for that matter, or anyone else. But Italian Americans were horribly discriminated against when they immigrated to this country, including my grandparents and great-grandparents. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that my grandmother, even when I was 5 and 6 years old, she would tell me the stories that her parents and aunts and uncles would tell her about, you know, I won't use the actual slur word, but they're hanging Italians in the square. And there were regular lynchings and hangings of Italians all across the South. And my family's particularly from Louisiana, New Orleans, Slidell Parish. But it was rampant to the point that they would teach their kids about it. And I can tell you, I'm now, the fourth generation after that, and I still hear these stories. So one thing I just want to bring it up and know that black Americans are not the only ones that have been discriminated against in this country at some point in time, just as Asian American or Japanese Americans were in World War II. But for some reason, they never seem to break through like the other cultures. And at the same time, it never occurs to me until I hear someone talking about it, like you folks on the radio, that happened in my past. I don't blame someone for it. I don't look for anything from it. My life is my own, and it's my job to do the best I can with what I have in front of me and take off with that. And it's hard for me to understand how so many people can be so hung up on everything that happened, whether it was, you know, Jim Crow in the 50s, and I was born in the 80s in Charlotte. So I have so little understanding and recollection of what life used to be like. But at the same time, I don't live my life in any way, shape, or form that would allow what happened 70, 100, 300 years ago to influence my life today. And it's just so difficult to watch the entire country get wrapped up in all this, because I will go out and it's just nonsense. It is fodder for them to talk about every night to whatever few million people tune into the cable news. And it's still hard for me to understand how the news does have that much influence when, I mean, I've seen the ratings. There's not that many people watching compared to how many people are in this country. I think most people just don't care.
Brian, I think you bring up great points. I'm Irish, and my grandparents came over, and they were discriminated against in New York. It was very difficult. The Jewish, you know, people.
Oh, yeah.
You talk about, you know, Auschwitz and everything that they've had to overcome. But my point, I guess, is, you know, the suppression of that story. Like, why are those stories suppressed? You know, like, I would like to know more. Like, I'm now more interested in history than ever before. I'd like to learn more about, you know, the hangings of the Italians, as he mentioned, and, you know, more about, and we'd all have, I think, more empathy for human beings. Now, one thing I might add, to me, I think it's harder on black people because the skin color is so dominant. You know, over years, the you know, an Italian marries an Irish person.
Yeah.
They're not as Italian as they were.
Right. There's a lot of stuff that we've got to unpack in this assertion. News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Great to be here with you, Coach. I mean, this is a multifaceted conversation that we're looking at as it relates to the history and how things are playing out right now. Here's the thing, though, I want to say about it that I think is hugely important. Republicans or conservatives, whatever you want to call yourselves, okay, in that regard, you should not abandon the field of discussion or the field of battle. A lot of what we see happening on television is designed to make you feel an ownership for something that you don't own. You're not responsible for whatever. And it's the same thing I said about the January 6th riot commission stuff that Pelosi was trying to push, because they're clearly going to run on that in the 2022 election to try to say you're a bunch of rioters and insurrectionists and all that sort of stuff. You have to join that fight. You have to say, no, I'm not. In fact, the party I belong to or the belief system I belong to is not that system, in fact. And I think we ought to be more like the system that I foresee. What they're relying on is they're putting loud people and angry people on television to make you feel like you did something wrong. And there's no reason for that. Be part of the discussion. Be part of the debate. It's a huge, huge issue. It's a huge issue because if you're going to have a debate, then you've got to have a debate.
Right.
It's not a charging document. It's not saying you're guilty and you did this and you did that. No, but you say, listen, okay, fine. What is the best way? What is the single best way to elevate academic performance right now in America? Charter schools. The easiest way to do it. The best way to do it. Why do you think parochial schools, Catholic schools, those sorts of schools that operate in some of the most economically depressed areas are able to...
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Turn out kids that go to college.
Discipline.
Respect. Responsibility. The
care.
The morality issues. All of that stuff is important. What are you getting from your public school? CMS is right now facing a $54 million hit to the bottom line right now. And that is happening because they're underperforming. They're not performing. And who are they selling out? They're not selling out elite whites and Asians and Hispanics and black kids. They're selling out the people who are most economically depressed. You know why? Because nobody lobbies for them. Nobody lobbies for them.
Right.
Kids are furniture to begin with in the public school system. They just move you around, put you here, put you there. So the point is, don't be afraid. Join the argument. Be someone who says, I'm going to be part of the debate, be part of the argument. That's what it comes to. I mean, that's really what you have to do. I mean, am I wrong?
No.
You shouldn't fear the fight. You shouldn't fear the debate.
No. That, to me, the debate, you got to go into it with an open mind.
Correct.
And willingness to listen.
Correct.
And willingness to be wrong.
Yep.
Willingness to change your mind.
Sure.
And it's not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength.
Yeah, you get new information. I mean, you get a new piece of information. You process that new piece of information. It's what you do. I mean, this is the thing.
We got some calls here.
Yeah. Let's take, who you want to take? Okay, let's take Carol. We'll take Carol here. Carol, welcome to the show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, welcome to the show.
I listen to your show as much as I possibly can. I'm in sales, so I'm constantly in and out of my car. But I'm glad you're in Charlotte because you seem to be very objective. But this time I got to go right with the coach. When the coach said the reason why that we, the other minorities, have assimilated into mainstream America, white America, is because of our color skin. We are the scarlet letter. We carry our color everywhere we go. Let me give you an example of systemic racism that you all don't get faced with. My friend has been on a job over 20 years. She's done everything on the job. So one of the jobs that had not been titled was coming up for a promotion, and she asked for the job. Well, she was turned down for a young white woman who she's going to have to train, and the white girl is going to be making more money getting trained by her with all the experience. You all don't know what that's like. Mm-hmm. So when you talk about systemic racism, understand the stuff that you all don't see.
Mm-hmm. So, I understand what you're saying in that regard, but at the same time, there are mechanisms in place that exist in the Department of Labor and in labor law that could allow your friend to go retain an attorney and fight for that job.
That's great.
Go ahead, Carol.
If you've got the money to do things of this nature. So we could say, do this, but then you got to do that. You do this and you got to do that. Totally disagree with you guys. I mean, you today. And another thing, you just don't know what it's like carrying that scarlet letter. You all won't be faced with it. What about Tulsa? When we talk about Tulsa, we talk about coming to the table and being objective and having an open mind. You all don't have to have an open mind. When white people sit at the table, y'all just go back with the same thoughts that you came from the first place, because you don't want to accept the fact that slavery was wrong. It's a plight on America. And, of course, I'd rather be in America than any other country in the world. But this is a plight on America, and America needs retribution. We need retribution for what you've done.
Carol, here's the thing. And I appreciate being called a you people, that you're calling me a you people.
Yeah.
Call you people so long.
No. I don't engage in grouping like that. I talk about things with individuals. You're a caller. I'm a host. I'm not a you people. You're not a you people. We're people, and we can have a conversation, and that's important. Now, listen, I understand. You decided to call the show. You made your point. I don't agree with your point. I'm not saying your point is wrong. I don't agree with your point, but I also understand a couple of other things as well. For there to be goodwill engendered, there has to be goodwill. And I believe the overwhelming majority of people in this country are willing to go at these challenges with goodwill. And I think that's what it comes down to. So I'm very sorry that you're disappointed or upset in my position. I don't think I've articulated a radical position. And I also understand. I also, what?
You haven't.
I haven't, except I'm a you, except I'm a you people. And that, my friend, I'm not going to have a conversation with somebody that's going to group me with a whole bunch of people when, Carol, you don't know who I am. I don't know who you are, but I have respect for you at least.
And
it was nice.
I listen to you.
Okay, very good. I'm glad to know that, Carol. It's been a real joy. I'm Brett Woodable, News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. Hour number three underway right here live on WBT in Charlotte, News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. Our phone number 704-570-1110. That's the number to be a part of the discussion of the conversation. Myself alongside the coach, Matt Doherty. Great to have you here, Coach. It's been a very, very high-spirited program.
It's been good. I think when we get real topics out on the table, mm-hmm. it generates a lot of callers, a lot of emotion. Mm-hmm. And, the key to all that to me is just two things, being respectful and having an open mind.
Indeed, I think that's true. But there are wizards in our world who know everything, and they'll tell you what entire groups of people think if you ask them for their opinions. And there is a piece that is running, and it's important for us to defend this generation. This is a piece running in The Guardian over in the UK, how the COVID shock has radicalized Generation Z. They've been tested, examined, judged, and graded since childhood, told they must excel, compete, and succeed. But thanks to COVID-19, across Europe, a generation of school and college leavers face a bleak present and an uncertain future. So The Guardian is talking to Europeans in their late teens and early 20s about how the pandemic has made them feel. And what has arrived, according to The Guardian, is a critique of capitalism.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips.
Learn more about Kisqali ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Of course it is. It's always a critique of the system. The system is doing you in. No, it's not. The system is not doing you in. COVID was something that emerged on the scene, I believe created in a lab. I'll say that much right there. I will say possibly deployed to gain advantage over other nations by a Chinese communist leader in Xi Jinping. And as a consequence, what you're seeing from Gen Z is a group of people that are going to be the collateral damage or not. Or not. See, there's a beautiful thing happening right now in our country. There are a number of generations competing at the exact same time. You have the moldy oldies, right? You got the folks who are the silent generation and the World War II generation who were born during World War II. And then you've got the baby boomers, right? You've got the baby boomers who birthed the millennials. You've got the war babies who birthed Gen X. And now you've got a blend of Gen X and the millennials giving birth to Generation Z. The single most destructive generation in American history, I contend, was and will be the baby boomers. Because they took an amazing inheritance from their parents who fought and died for civilization. And they went off to college and got radicalized and deployed across our country a whole new kind of politics. But it really was around the world as well. But this piece in The Guardian has got me laughing because my kids are both Gen Z. And I could not disagree more with this piece. Generation Z already knew they would be poorer than their parents. They learned that lesson after the 2008 crisis, but the future, bleak as it looked to the generation who occupied the squares in 2011, at least seemed to promise a binary and certain struggle against racism, sexism, austerity, and climate denial. In these testimonies, the leitmotif is uncertainty. They are ready to believe, as one respondent puts it, that the world could end tomorrow, that civilization could collapse, that the current system is held together with tape and toothpicks, and that the present is as unpredictable as it is monotonous. You got too much time on your hands if you're bored with the world. The world has never been more interesting or exciting than right now. In your hand, you have the key to every bit of knowledge that you could possibly have in a cell phone. You can start a business by not even leaving your house. You don't have to go to work. You can work from your house. You can game for a living.
Yeah.
You can Twitch for a living. You can Vine.
You could Twitch. You could Vine.
You could do all that stuff. You don't have to.
You could rap. You can.
That's right.
You know, dance. You can.
Anything you want. You can become a famous person because you're a famous person. But what they're trying to do here is they're trying to kneecap an entire generation in Gen Z. You're never going to do well. You know what the first professor that I had in college said to my class the first day I walked into that classroom? The very first thing out of his
Half
mouth.
Half of you going to fail?
No. I wish it had been that way. The first thing he said out of his mouth is, I hope you all understand that you're going to be the first generation that doesn't do as well as your parents. And I looked at him and I said, nice generational curse. From a boomer.
That's
what was Gen X? Slackers, losers, didn't want to work. That was the label. And now Gen Z, you're feeling monotonous and it's a terrible world. They're trying to kneecap you. You want to know why Gen Z is pretty special? Because they saw the mortgage meltdown in 2008 up close and personal.
Right.
Some of them, depending on the age, would have some sort of a distant memory of the 9/11 attack.
Yep.
They would see the 2008 mortgage meltdown, and they would see the most sluggish, underperforming economy in our lifetimes. That glorious period defined by 2009 to 2017. Those Obama-Biden years with constant unemployment kissing up against 7 and 8%, sluggish job growth and giveaways to corrupt billionaires and corporations, blowing out General Motors to pay off the crooked unions, Solyndra, deploying the IRS against people who disagree with them. And there was Joe Biden right there selling access to the White House through his kleptocratic nudnik son, Hunter.
Kleptocratic? Nice.
He's a klepto. He used his power to get rich. And what did Generation Z then see? They saw Donald Trump come in the strongest economy in 60 years. Anything was possible until Xi Jinping decided to do what he did, either cover up or deploy the Wuhan virology virus called the COVID. So this Gen Z has now seen the economy spike and tank, come back, and now under the tutelage of the aforementioned Biden and the
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Democrat Hunter, the economy's likely to contract once you start raising tax rates. What you have in front of you, Generation Z, is the perfect explanation for why it is you would never want to vote for anyone called AOC or Joey B. Because they guarantee absolute misery.
Wow.
You like your freedom? You can keep your freedom. But don't surrender your freedom to people undeserving of your freedom.
News Talk 1110-993 WBT.
I'm Brett Winterbull alongside the coach, Matt Doherty. Let's take a call. Okay, here he is. Ready? Ladies and gentlemen, this is for you, coach. Oh, no, I did the wrong button.
Oh, you dropped him.
That was
dropped him.
That was terrible. Jim, how are you?
I'm good. I'm okay.
Okay, good.
I'm good. I'm okay. It sounds like you're trending down, Jim.
No, he dropped me.
I didn't drop
you. No.
He
dropped another guy from San Diego. He would never drop you to your face as well as you know.
Well, Coach, I just got to tell you that the thing you want to do, the term you want to use for your wife is she's a timeless beauty.
Timeless beauty.
Wow, that's
nice.
Good.
Thank you for that advice. We should have picked up. Brett, we should have picked up his call earlier.
I know, but it's a whole new...
you're not heading home yet, so...
No.
What's on your mind, Jim?
Well, you know, where Carroll is going wrong is the same place they went wrong in Wilmington and the same place they went wrong in Tulsa, which incidentally, at the time, Tulsa and Oklahoma were controlled by Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And the same place they went wrong at the Wounded Knee Massacre is what she is advocating, and she said it herself, is retribution. Once you decide you want retribution instead of the tenets that Abraham Lincoln spelled out in the Emancipation Proclamation based on the Judeo-Christian belief of forgiveness, you have to forgive your enemies for their trespass. If you can't do that, then we all cannot move forward as Americans. It is the cornerstone. If you try to throw away this ideal and try to move forward, then we are not going to be Americans. A house divided cannot stand.
Okay, but
that is what Carol is advocating.
I understand. But here's the thing. I'm going to speak up for Carol. She blew me up a little bit, but I'm going to speak up for her. I think the word she was using was searching for was reparations. I didn't get the sense that she was talking about retribution, like go out and do stuff. I think she meant to say, I'm guessing she meant to say reparations need to be a part of the conversation, not retribution, because retribution is not going to get you anything but more retribution. I mean, that's just going to create more drama and more troubles.
Right.
So that I don't think she was saying that we had to, you know, get even in that way. I'm going to assume that that's the case.
It's tough to find the right words when you get put on the air and you under pressure to come up with it.
You're a master wordsmith. You do it all the time and flawlessly. It's really quite remarkable.
Oh, I'll take that as a compliment. Incidentally, you know the kind of people that like to chew the fat?
What kind of people?
People who like to masticate.
Masticators. That's right, the mastication crowd. That's the chewing of your food.
Oh, nice. I didn't kill the show?
No, you know why? Uh-oh. Oh, you did. When you mentioned it, you just did it. 24 minutes past the hour of 5, Jim assassinated the program. It's okay.
Big Jim Sports Camper.
Big Jim Sports Camper. What is that supposed to mean?
Little toy.
Spencer. Hello, Spencer. What's on your mind?
Two things.
Yes, sir.
Number one, I talked to Anderson Cooper on a NPR talk show back, well, it was called the Diane Rehm Show. And she
I remember that show. Yeah.
She retired in 2016 when Trump was elected.
Yes,
and
sir.
It was a couple of years before that, but she was interviewing Anderson Cooper, and he was going on and on about how he learned to be a reporter and all this kind of stuff.
Right.
And he learned that the story was more important than the fact.
There you go.
And I got on there with him and I said, you know, that story about Katrina where all of the dead bodies were stacked up like cordwood in the Superdome, that must have been a story because it ain't a fact.
Yeah.
And he was going, oh.
Whoa.
But anyhow, the other thing I wanted to say is back in my 20s when I was a hippie.
Yes, sir.
Me and a friend of mine were driving down the road one morning and minding our own business. And we came up on these cop cars in the middle of the road, the lights flashing and everything. And we were just going to weave through them. And we got up real close, and one of them pulled up in the front of us, and one of them pulled up in the back of us, and they came up to the doors and opened them and dragged us out and threw us down in the pavement and put handcuffs on us and drug us down to the county jail in Lancaster, South Carolina, and we're going to charge us with stealing guns out of a trailer.
Really?
Yeah, well... I had long hair down to my elbows, and the other guy had long hair, whatever.
Yeah.
But the only thing that saved us was his father, not his father, his uncle had that truck at the time the burglary happened.
Yeah.
That was the only thing. But I know how people are dragged out of cars and thrown on the ground when the cops down there, they were a little shady.
Okay.
Let's say.
Yeah, I got you. Okay. Well,
but anyhow,
I'm happy. I appreciate that, and I'm happy you were able to get through. The Anderson Cooper story was particularly enlightening, and I'm very sorry that you had to go through that with the law there in Lancaster County. I'm hoping that I'm confident they've improved the conditions of stoppage.
Let's hope.
But you never know. Life is an adventure. News Talk 1110-993 WBT, Brett Wetterbull Show. And happy to welcome to the program our very good friend Bo Thompson from The Bo Thompson Show. Good to have you back, my friend.
Hey, good to be here.
Lots of stuff going on, and we're seeing a lot of news coming out of the world of sports, Bo Thompson. We remember very well just a couple of months back the announcement of the retirement of Roy Williams as the coach of the Tar Heels. We know that Coach K announced his intention to retire at the conclusion of this upcoming campaign in the NCAAs. And now we get a new bit of news today regarding the Panthers and somebody who has been iconic with the organization in Mick Mixon. Your reaction to this story that he is going to be heading down the road?
Well, he's going to do what Coach K is going to do. He's going to call one more season or and you know, and not coach, but in his profession, do play-by-play for one more season, and then call it quits. So much like yesterday with Coach K, we know he's going to retire, but he's not done yet. You know, all of us obviously hope that Mick gets a chance to go out in style, and hopefully the Panthers will have a big season, and that'll be a big send-off for him. But this is a guy who has been not only synonymous with the Panthers for the last decade plus, but he also spent many years in the 80s and 90s as the color commentator alongside Woody Durham on the Tar Heel Sports Network calling North Carolina college football and basketball. So he's been on WBT in many different forms, but for a lot of people around here, if you combine the Tar Heels and the Panthers stretches, he's really been the soundtrack of a lot of the sports that we've heard, especially on WBT, but in and around the Charlotte area.
Yeah, it's interesting to see this this transition year. We all got through a very unusual year, almost a year and a half, with COVID going on, and now we're seeing a lot of transitions, which I think is kind of an interesting thing. I'm wondering, you know, how much thinking was done during the time of uncertainty in COVID. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think it certainly, and we've talked about this, made you realize what you take for granted, even when it comes down to you know, crowds and stadiums. I mean, it was just a weird year all around for just about every kind of sport. So, if I'm Mick, I don't want to end on a year like that. I want to end on a year when you got packed stadiums.
Yes.
The Panthers have a chance to. Mm-hmm. I mean, Mick called a Super Bowl, so
right.
Obviously they didn't win that Super Bowl, but that's right on the cusp of. At least you got to call a game, the biggest game, on the radio. And of course, Mick called a couple of UNC national championship games where they won.
Yep.
So I'd love to see the Panthers send them off big time. And I will say I was not expecting this. I thought Mick would go on for several more years. But you know, everybody. Should be able to. I mean, not everybody gets the chance, but
right.
But anybody who does what we do, you like to say that you go out on your own terms, and that's what he's doing. And hopefully, the Panthers team on the field will cooperate with that and make it a big send-off.
Each day, we get to broadcast from the legendary WBT. It's the honor of my life, and I know you feel the same way. We get to broadcast from the Ty Boyd Studio here, and that's equally. Important as well. And unfortunately, because of what happened with the coronavirus and COVID and shutdowns and lockdowns, we didn't get the sort of celebration of his life as we would have liked to as he passed in the spring of 20. And Bo Thompson, tell us what's coming up tomorrow.
Yeah, Ty Boyd's celebration of life memorial service is tomorrow. It's going to happen at 11 a.m. at St. Gabriel's Church. On Providence Road. Now, the great news is that it will also be streamed. So if you go to St. Gabriel Church, that's stgabrielchurch.org tomorrow, you can watch this, and the family would love for whoever can to attend in person or stream it. And this is the guy, like you said. I mean, I will be forever thankful that late in his career early in mine is when I met him, mm-hmm. but when I started doing mornings 10 years ago, I got to know Ty Boyd even better, and he reached out to me when I took the position that he once held. And quite frankly, between he and Grady Cole, I mean, they're the standard of all standards when it comes to this radio station, as far as I'm concerned. But Ty was the morning guy here, for those who don't know, from 1961 to 1973, and one of our first Hall of Famers, and he's just an amazing guy. And so tomorrow we have, of course, what I just told you, the service mm-hmm. that's happening for the public. But on my show tomorrow, especially from 9 to 10, we're going to make it a tribute to Ty Boyd and give him – we gave him a send-off a year ago when he first passed away, but like you said, they weren't able to do any of the formal memorial services or anything. So when I heard this was happening, I knew it was a no-brainer that we would do something on the air the same day and really give Ty the proper send-off that he deserves. And look, Brett, you know, there are so many other families over the last year who weren't able to do the
right.
Who had family members pass away that weren't able to have a traditional memorial service or a funeral service. And so here over a year later this is happening tomorrow for Ty, and I know he's not the only one out there, but he's a very important part of the fabric of the station that you and I like you say, have the privilege to be on every day. And so I'm very happy to contribute in some small way to keeping the torch lit in his honor tomorrow.
Absolutely. And looking forward to seeing that live stream as well. Everything old is new again. We found this out earlier today when we saw the announcement come out from Fox that they were bringing back the USFL. Right now, it's called the Spring League. It's just called the Spring League. But coming in 2022, the spring of 2022, there is going to be the re-release of the United States Football League, the USFL. Fox is going to be backing this. And they are contending, at least from the coverage that I have seen, that this is not going to be a development league, not going to be a G League or anything like that. It's going to be something that's going to be on par with the professionals who are on the field in the fall and winter at the NFL. And one of the things that was mentioned earlier in the day that I thought was interesting was they may take players who want to opt out early from their college experience to bring them into the league to try to attract top talent.
Yeah, I found out about this through you right after I got off the air this morning. You texted me this story, and, well, two things. First of all, it won't be the only league. The XFL is coming back, too.
Yes.
So I would worry a little bit that there are going to be too many football leagues competing for your dollar and your viewing. I hope it doesn't water things down.
Right.
But two, not only are they bringing back the name, the USFL, my understanding is that they're bringing back the original team names wherever they can. They've secured the rights to the Houston Gamblers, mm-hmm. the Oakland Invaders, and perhaps most notable, the New Jersey Generals, which were owned by Donald Trump.
That's right.
back in the 80s, and you and I both know that the USFL is the one league. I don't count the XFL. I mean, they did their thing when Vince McMahon first started it. What 10 or something years ago? But it quickly nosedived and went away. But USFL was a legit competitor to the NFL for a while and started pulling away. You know, there were guys that went to the USFL instead of the NFL, like Herschel Walker and Jim Kelly.
That's right.
And other ones that we could name. No other leagues ever competed with the NFL, or at least given the NFL, you know, a little bit of a scare with some competition like that before, because they did. You know, the USFL wasn't. It was a spring league, but it was gaining talent that didn't go to the NFL. And we can name several players that started off in the USFL and ended their careers in the NFL. But to me, the thing that strikes me here really is the fact that they're going back and really trying to tap into those. I think it's the right way to go. Whether or not it works, we'll see. But I certainly...
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
I'm intrigued by this. Spring of 2022, and they have a broadcast partner already, which we know is key, Fox Sports. So, my eyebrows were raised when I saw this today.
You know, what's interesting is if you go back from 83 to 86 and you look at the number one drafts from each of those years, not all of them obviously played in the USFL, but they were drafted. Dan Marino was drafted by the Los Angeles Express. Mike Rozier was drafted from Nebraska for the Pittsburgh Maulers, which is a great name for a team. the Jerry Ham Stallions and Mike Haight from Iowa was drafted as an offensive tackle by the Orlando Renegades. So this is going to be an interesting thing to see. It's going to be a crowded market, and not just because of the football component, but because of the fact that you've now got baseball, the NBA, you'll have the USFL, hockey. You'll have a lot of stuff happening in that window.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, if I'm the New Jersey Generals,
yes, sir,
even if he doesn't officially own the team, if you're in the marketing department, you absolutely want Donald Trump involved in this team. I mean, just for the sheer name recognition and the sheer novelty of it, wouldn't you think?
Oh yeah, well for sure. It's everything old is new again, man. That's it. All right, great stuff. So tomorrow on the Bo Thompson Show, who we got in the 9 o'clock hour? You'll obviously be celebrating the life of Ty Boyd and stuff like that. What else you got going on?
Well, Brett Jensen's going to join me, and Brett what a day Brett's had.
Yes, he has.
He finally asked Roy Cooper a question in a press conference. he also ran into George Dunlap at the same press conference after it was over and asked him about the ongoing CMS County Commission battle. And I also want to point people to 7:30 tonight on WBTV Channel 3. There's a piece during Jamie Bowles' On Your Side Tonight show sometime between 7:30 and 8 that will also focus on Ty Boyd and his service tomorrow. And they talked to Robert Boyd, Ty's son, and interviewed me the other day. So, again, happy that they are shining some light on this. And again, like you said, tomorrow 9 to 10 will be the focus, but there'll be other things during the show and some Mick Mixon audio as well. I had a chance to interview him for episode 9 of the Century podcast series, really going and taking a deep dive on the career of Mick Mixon. So a lot of these stories we talked about, we'll have more in-depth and more reaction tomorrow.
Great stuff. Bo Thompson, look forward to catching up with you in the morning, my man. Be well.
Thank you, Brett.
All the best. News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. Brett Witterbull. It is my favorite time of the night.
Absolutely.
Mark Garrison joins us. What's coming up on Charlotte at 6, Mark Garrison?
Well, the governor was in town today talking yet again about maybe $1 million being offered for a vaccine drawing, but he's not making any commitments yet.
Oh, he just doesn't commit to a lot of things.
No, he keeps saying we got to find out if this is legal. Well, how long does it take to find out if this is legal? I mean, you got lawyers crawling all over his office.
He's the attorney general. At one time, he would know.
Yeah, exactly. But also, as you know, he was left stammering when he was asked about why he hasn't taken questions from WBT for a year. Mm-hmm. And we'll let you hear some of that again. Mm-hmm. Hey, Mick Mixon, our buddy who's the voice of the Panthers, retiring at the end of the season. We'll chat with him at 6:20, and I guarantee you'll learn some things about him you never knew.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Watch out if you're renting a car for vacation.
Yeah.
A lot of scams because rental cars in such short supply. Get this, in Hawaii, for example, tourists are having to rent box trucks for $600 a day.
Oh, my gosh.
Come on, honey, put the kids in the back.
That's a lot of coconuts.
I'm telling you. And at 6:35, Dirty Restaurant Thursday, a really nasty sushi joint.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah, really.
You know, I'm going to give up the sushi for the time being, and I'm just going to eat the cicadas.
They're crunchy.
They sure are. Mark Garrison, good stuff, man. Charlotte at 6 coming up. Stick around for that. Especially, you want to know which sushi restaurant is skimping on the cleanliness or freshness of the product. I only half joke when I mention the cicadas. First of all, I thought we were going to be up to our eyeballs in cicadas. Now, I'm not trying to speak it into existence, but I figured by now we'd have cicadas everywhere. I figured, you know, I need a snowplow to get the cicadas out of my yard. They haven't shown up. And I keep seeing all these stories about how to eat cicadas. I'm not eating bugs. You know, there's a promo that runs occasionally with me making a reference to Did We Lose a War? It's a paraphrase stolen from the Simpsons, right? Because Homer once asked, did we lose a war? We're allowing cats to go to the bathroom in our homes and we're cleaning up after them. Did we lose some kind of a war? If we're eating cicadas, if we're eating bugs, and don't tell me they're just like crabs and shrimp. They're not. They're bugs. They live in the dirt. The seafood lives in the ocean. I'll take my chances with the seafood. But the fact of the matter is, if we're down to eating cicadas, it feels like maybe we lost a war. It feels like maybe we're just getting a little too creative. What's wrong with a fluff and nutter sandwich? What is wrong with a bologna sandwich, as some people call it? What is wrong with the great food that we have accessible to us? We live in the land of barbecue, for goodness sakes, and I'm not eating cicada. I don't care how much hot vinegar dripping sauce I put on it. Not interested. It's a bug. At the end of the day, I'm not eating bugs. Just not doing it. Don't make me go back to gluten. Thanks to Josh and Anna and Boomer and Brett and Mark Garrison and, of course, the coach, Matt Doherty. I'm Brett Witterbull. We'll do it tomorrow, starting at 3. News Talk 1110-993 WBT.